Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. In the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you all. I am your host, Kazakia, and believe me, it is a pleasure, as well as it is a blessing for me, to be able to spend a little bit of time with you all this afternoon in the Holy Bible, reading the scriptures, examining the scriptures, and bringing out those scriptures as they relate to today's events. And the topic of our discussion for this afternoon is transhumanism, the search for godhood. Now, imagine a technologically advanced world in which mankind is practically immortal. Society is plagued such as disease, sickness, poverty, war, stress, hunger, and death are all non-existent. Man has evolved to both his physical and intellectual peak. This sounds too good to be true, yet through a movement called transhumanism, people are beginning to take hold of the concept that immortality and human evolution can be achieved through science and technology. Is this vision something of the distant future? According to some, it may be closer than imagined. Can man finally have his utopia on Earth through transhumanism? Is transhumanism man's next evolutionary step toward godhood? Can we as humans finally ascend to the same level of being as God Almighty? Is perfection finally within our grasp? Those are the questions that we'll be attempting to try to answer in today's discussion. And with me to help examine and discuss this concept is my brother Kabar. Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you, brother. It's always good to have you with me. And definitely welcome to the show.
Bless you, brother, and shalom, and good evening to the listening audience. It's good to be with you both. It's good to have this opportunity in the hopes of bringing forth that edification written in the scriptures according to our Lord Christ concerning this matter and this topic that we're dealing with. It's very important. It is definitely a future trend and something that's being promoted in society today, and something that we should address and at least have an understanding both ourselves and be able to impart some, hopefully, understanding to the audience so that we can look at this in its proper perspective. Good to be with you, brother. Good to be with the audience. Shalom.
Definitely. Giving all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ. Now, this article that, you know, that we're basing this today's discussion off of, it definitely is an interesting one. So if you don't mind, give our listening audience a little bit of background to what exactly is transhumanism, or what does it entail, or what does it consist of? Help us out with that.
Well, transhumanism is basically a philosophy. It's an idea that through technological advancement, basically society will be able to address all of its problems, its ills, its shortcomings, and basically be able to create a more perfect human being and as a result, a more perfect society. So basically, especially after 95, you know, from 95 to 2000, we was moving into an age where, you know, the dot-com was going on, computers, mobile devices, internet companies, bandwidth, all of that was expanding. And, you know, this idea of a new economy was developing. And we're kind of moving into that new economy now, as far as now you have a lot of companies moving to automation, robotics, so on and so forth. So along with that came also other ideas about society in general, and life on earth in general, in which you had certain proponents and purveyors of this philosophy, chief of which is a man by the name of Ray Kurzweil. And Ray Kurzweil, of course, is he's in the top level executive with one of the biggest dot-coms that ever existed, Google. And he basically is a top proponent of transhumanism, in which society will move toward something called the singularity. So as technology advances, and we're talking about technology in three key areas, nanotechnology, robotic technology, and the last one was biotechnology. Nanotechnology, biotechnology, and nanotech, biotech, and robotics. Okay, as those, and the reason why those three key areas are expanding is because computing technology itself is leaping forward. We look at chip technology over the years becoming smaller and faster, more powerful. So it's because of that computing technology in general, because of the exponential leaps forward in that, it allow other areas of technology to also advance, nanotech, biotech, and robotics. And transhumanism brings all of these technological disciplines together to form the singularity. And basically, the singularity is a book written by Ray Kurzweil called The Age of Spiritual Machines. And we're going to get more into what his idea is about that. But it's because, you know, man in his carnal human mind looking at this and extrapolating forward in time, meaning looking into the future and saying, well, these are the possibilities. If you look at this rate of advancement, and then you assume that it continues on into the future and that it gets, you know, that it increases its rate of advancement, this is where the possibilities could lead us in the areas of biotech, nanotech, and robotics. And these are the advancements that we can see that it can bring to society as a whole. And basically what happens is people begin, you know, we live in a society and we have a lot of death and destruction. You know, you got ISIS, you got terrorism, you got, you know, poverty, you got all disease, you have all of these things going on. And what's happening is transhumanism is basically becoming people's salvation. It's basically becoming people's cure-all, so that all of their hopes can be piled into this one area or philosophy of thought, and to see this as the solution to all of the issues and problems. And it basically comes down to the advancement of technology, and that's what we'll be addressing.
So, as some understanding from you, the advances of technology, nanotechnology specifically, it looks to be, or it looks as if that's what man's aim is to just, I guess, create a perfect society or a utopia or a paradise. Is that pretty much an accurate summation of it?
Exactly. That is the ultimate, let's say, the ultimate honorable goal that's being purported. Look what it can do for us as a society. And is this idea and this noble goal, a noble cause that convinces a lot of people or draws a lot of people into it. What the true motives are behind it, who knows? You know what I mean? We can only assume that based on the pattern of the behavior of mankind up until this point, ultimately things will be used in a more nefarious, evil way. And, you know, it's not like this idea hasn't been with us for at least some time now. If you look at the movie Transcendent with Johnny Depp, it was basically describing what's known as the singularity. And basically, just the singularity is man merging with machine. So that at some point in time, and it's going through phases. So Transcendent was basically going into the singularity. If you see, and that movie was by Johnny Depp. I don't know. Well, let me see. When did that movie come out? I believe that movie came out in early 2000. Maybe about 10 years ago now.
I'm going to have to go back and do some research and do a little bit of homework on that particular film.
Yeah, 2014 is when that came out. So that's about three, four years now.
Okay. And, but it raises a really interesting question. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that movie is describing the singularity, man merging with machines, and the singularity more specifically going into man's mind merging with machine and basically being able to upload your mind into a machine and be conscious inside of a machine, inside of a computer. If you look at the movie Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, it was also describing the singularity because you remember Ashton. From this chemical or pill that she took, her brain was advanced to a certain point in time, but ultimately at the end of the movie, she basically turned into a high-tech machine that downloads all this information into a jump job, basically, to be able to share with mankind. And then the intermediate step, you can see ideas of that in the movie Elysium with Matt Damon. And Elysium was really going into augmentation, meaning the physical body as it is giving mechanical enhancement. Okay, so that's where your robotics and biotechnology comes into, where he's wearing this exoskeleton and is able to give him superhuman strength and things like that. So this is all part of that transhumanism. That transhumanism just basically means post-human or beyond human. This is a human evolution taking the next step into the future. And so you have all of these disciplines coming together to push that trend in that direction.
Okay. So you've got these disciplines that's pushing this trend towards this direction, and now I'm theorizing toward the goal of immortality or of supreme knowledge to that
mm-hmm.
extent.
Yeah.
So, and that's a good, and it's a concept, and it begs the question, is there or are there any similarities in what, now taking this, of course, to a spiritual level, are there any similarities in transhumanism and man's aspiration to be, to have supreme knowledge on Earth or to be that true immortal being? Is there any similarity between transhumanism and, say, what we see in the Bible, perhaps what Satan promised to Eve in the garden? Are there any similarities between those two? Because when you look at the narrative of Eve in the garden, of course, here comes Satan, and he says, "Well, you're not going to die. You're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil, so forth and so on." So, are there any parallels or any similarities between this nowadays transhumanism movement and what was happening with Satan in the garden back then?
Yeah, when you go into the article that we're referencing, it's Transhumanism, the Attempt to Use Technology to Turn Men into Gods. And this is by Michael Snyder, written in May of 2015. And the first paragraph of the article, it says, I just read a piece of it. It says, "Did you know that the word transhumanism literally means beyond human? All over the world, scientists and intellectuals are joining the transhumanist movement. Those that adhere to this philosophy believe that the time has come for us to use technology to take control of our evolution. By doing so, they believe that we can give ourselves superhuman powers and radically extend our lifespan. Right now, the most popular movie in America is Avengers: Age of Ultron. And, if you look in that movie, you'll see a lot of aspects of transhumanism there. Age of Ultron, and in recent years, we have watched films about mutants and superheroes become some of Hollywood's biggest moneymakers. But transhumanists believe that we will soon be able to literally turn ourselves into such superheroes as technologies continue to increase at an exponential rate. And once we have superhuman powers and superhuman intelligence, they are convinced that we will eradicate all sickness, disease, poverty, and war. Many of them actually believe that we will be able to achieve immortality and establish a utopia on Earth just a few decades from now. In other words, we won't need a god because we will have become our own god. So back in the article, when you read it, the article that we're referencing today, but when you, that's a, 2017 supposed idea and concept, but when you look into the scriptures, it's very, very old. It's not something that just developed in 2017. When you go back, we're talking about 6,000 years now, nearly 6,000 years, into Genesis chapter, I started chapter 3, and I read verses 1 through 5, verses 1 through 6, and it says, "Now the serpent," that's Satan the devil, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that in a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, when we read these verses, we have to understand a lot of it is in allegory. A lot of it is in symbolism. What the fruit is talking about, what the tree is talking about, are representations of other things. So here we have Satan the devil beguiling Eve and tell her a direct lie. Now, the God said that if they partake of this tree or this fruit, and this fruit is going into the works, this concept, this ideology, this belief, okay, that's what the fruit was going into. If they partook of that, or if they brought their minds in agreement or alignment with that, then it will bring death upon them. But here's the devil telling them the opposite, that wouldn't happen. So it's a direct lie. And had they had their trust and faith in the Heavenly Father, they wouldn't have fell for it. Because the scriptures tell you, let God be true and every man a liar. So the moment somebody's telling you something opposite of what's written in the scriptures, according to the commandments of God, you know that person is a liar, not the scriptures. So it shows us here that he's saying, listen, the serpent is trying to promise them that, basically saying God is withholding something from you. And if you have the courage to move forward and partake of this, then this whole new world will open up to you, this whole new understanding, and you will understand everything, good and evil, and you're not going to die, and you don't have to worry about that. And basically, you can become you can control your own destiny. You don't have to conform yourself to anybody else's ideas or ideals. You can chart your own path forward. So this is exactly what transhumanism is promising, that through this knowledge, same way Satan was offering this knowledge, and through this philosophy, that you don't have to be constrained by the limitations that human beings find themselves. that you could go beyond whatever the limitations or constraints are and chart a whole new course for yourself, just like he was promising Eve. And that by going in that direction, opposite of what the Lord is saying, not only will you not die, but you can also gain life extension, immortality, and bring this utopia upon earth. Now, we see, of course, that didn't happen in the garden, and they indeed died, and Satan was indeed lying to them, even though he made this promise of all of this stuff and that they could become their own God. It wasn't true. And ultimately, the whole thing failed and resulted in death and destruction. Well, we see the same thing in this so-called promise of transhumanism. It's promising a lot, but it's not delivering it. Because you look at all the developments, technological developments, even up until now, and how has that development been used? For evil, selfish, self-centered means. Now, you have, nuclear technology, but you have a whole other destructive use of that technology in nuclear bombs. You have reactors that people use for energy, and you got bombs that can destroy the entire planet. So when we look at the idea, the philosophy, yes, it looks noble, it sounds noble, but the reality is that's not the direction it's going to take, and that's not the direction it is ever taking. It has only ever been used to do evil and to cause more problems. So whether Satan promised it in the garden or whether Satan promising it now through transhumanism, the reality is the result is going to be the same, ultimately death, just like Adam and Eve received when they believed it then. If we believe it now, it's also going to be death, because transhumanism can't achieve any of the things that it's saying it can.
Wow, that's something. That's something really to think about and to ponder. You know, a lot of people being caught up or allowing themselves to be caught up in this particular movement, this particular philosophy.
It is. So I mean, you look at that, and you know, Satan promised this whole world to them, and that they can break out of whatever God was saying and create their own thing. And we have that same thing going on today. So, you know, one of the questions one would ask is, you know, can a society, you know, be achieved which, you know, in which there is no sickness and poverty and war or any of that, cannot be achieved through transhumanism? You know what I mean? I mean, can this actually happen?
I have to say it this way. Before we get into whether this can be achieved through society, through humanism, why do these things exist? Why does sickness exist? Why do diseases exist? Why does poverty exist? Why does war exist? So before we can say yay or nay, it can be achieved or not achieved, we have to understand why these things are the way that they are. And the reason that these things are that the way they are is because of man, it's because of sin, it's because of disobedience to the Heavenly Father. And that's the reason why, you know, we are in the state that we are in as a society. Because going back, and when you read the story of Genesis, there was no sickness or disease or poverty or war back then. But because of man's rebelliousness, there are a lot of groups, a lot of religions that want to point the finger solely at Eve, solely at the woman, for the downfall of man. No, men, we have just as much a fault, a part in that downfall as the woman. So because of disobedience and rebellion against the Lord God Almighty by Adam, even way back then, that's the reason why we have these different plagues and different elements in our society now. Not to mention, of course, amongst us, the children of Israel, the people of God, that further compounds the issue in the fact that we continue in our rebelliousness against the Lord when the Heavenly Father set us up to be those lights, to be those ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the whole world can know that this is possible. Paradise is possible through applying God's teachings, the teachings of Jesus Christ in our lives. But because we're not right, the whole world is in a purity total tumult, thinking that what is right, wrong is actually right, and what's right is actually wrong. So before we can talk about what can be rectified, we have to talk about the origin of the problem. And the origin of the problem is us, men, and our refusal to adhere to the commandments of the Heavenly Father and the Bible and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you ask the question, can a society be achieved in which there is still disease and poverty and war and sickness through nanotechnology? The answer is no, but there will be a society in which that is achieved. And when you read, please bear with me, when you read the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, and I'm going to read verses 9 and verse 10, where it says, and this is the Lord's Prayer that Christ was teaching people, Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. So why is this so important to the conversation that we're having today? It's important because Christ, through him teaching us the Lord's Prayer, is already describing what's going to be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. So Christ is telling us that there will be a time in which the kingdom of God will come on this earth, and that on this earth, with the kingdom of God, there will be no disease, no poverty, no war, no sicknesses, things of that nature, because the kingdom in heaven, that none of those things are existent. So when what Christ is telling us was that the state of perfection and righteousness that's already in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord God Almighty himself will be present and manifest one day on the earth. Also, when you read Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 1, I'm going to read all the way down to verse 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So guess what? The perfect society in which there is no war and poverty, pestilence, etc., and sickness, that's already described of in the Bible. All we have to do is repent, turn ourselves over to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow his teachings and his example, and we'll receive that. So it's not going to be through man's science. It's not going to be through man's technology. It's not going to be through man's academic acumen or scientific acumen that we receive these things. It will be only through repentance and following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ that we receive this blessing of this perfect kingdom in which all these plagues of society that we're suffering and enduring now will be non-existent, only through Christ and not through man. So, I mean, you know, it's something that we all have to really think about and ponder, excuse me, in our minds. I mean, what are we doing, or to whom or with whom are we placing our faith, or how are we trying to provide solutions to the problems that we're currently expressing or experiencing, I apologize, in this particular society? And the next question is, it's a solution to all our problems, whether it's lack of money, health issues, mental issues, or whatever the issue may be. It's a solution to all of our problems. Does it lie in technology? Does it lie in scientific research? Does it lie in social movements such as transhumanism, for example? Or does it lie elsewhere? Help me out with that, brother.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly being for problems lie, you know, in this movement of transhumanism. Let me bring in reference another article. This is in The Guardian, and you can access that through theguardian.com. I believe this is out of the UK. And the title of the article is called The Long Read, God and the Machine, My Strange Journey into Transhumanism. And this is by Megan O'Giblian. And this was written Tuesday, April 18, 2017. So we're talking about, you know, literally maybe 4 weeks ago, so on and so forth. So the beginning of this article, we're gonna get into, you know, is technology the solution to all our problems? Is this movement of transhumanism going to, you know, give us all of our hopes and dreams of a perfect life on Earth? But on our way there, let's just look at this article here. In the first paragraph, it says, I first read Ray Kurzweil's book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, in 2006, a few years after I dropped out of Bible school and stopped believing in God. So, you know, this woman, Megan, is having these experiences and finding herself in a place where she's doubting either God exists or believing in God, so on and so forth. And, of course, we would both know that you got to wonder what's being taught in this Bible school that she was going to. You know, because when we look in the scriptures give us clear understanding and concrete proof. You know what I mean? It's not theories and ideas. It's God parted the Red Sea and the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. And if you go dig it up, you're going to find a chariot there, which they never do. I mean, it's like this whole debate over the Bible is real. It's like, just go to the Red Sea and dig it up. You got these transoceanic machines that dig for oil in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. They got the technology to dig all those chariots up. It's never even mentioned. It's never even talked about. If you got this great debate on whether the Bible's real, just go look. They could scan the bottom of the ocean with the technology they have and see it right there. But anyway, so she's going through this thing. I dropped down a few paragraphs into this article, and it says, the fourth, fifth paragraph, it says, the 21st century, and this is, she's quoting out of Ray Kurzweil's book, Spiritual Machines, The Age of Spiritual Machines. It says, the 21st century will be different, Kurzweil writes. The human species, along with the computational technology it created, will be able to solve age-old problems and will be in a position to change the nature of mortality in a post-biological future. So post-biological, you know what I mean? Transhuman, beyond human, okay, something else. I'm talking about humans becoming basically machines. And it goes on in the next paragraph to say, like the theologians at my Bible school, Kurzweil, who is now a director of engineering at Google and a leading proponent of a philosophy called transhumanism, had his own historical narrative. He divided all of evolution into successive epochs where we were living in the fifth epoch when human intelligence began to merge with technology. Soon we will reach the singularity, the point at which we will be transformed into what Ray Kurzweil called spiritual machines. We would transfer or resurrect our minds into supercomputers, allowing us to live forever. Our bodies would become incorruptible, immune to disease and decay, and we would acquire knowledge by uploading it to our brains. Nanotechnology would allow us to remake Earth into a terrestrial paradise, and we would migrate to space, terraforming other planets. Our powers, in short, would be limitless. So this is their idea of what can be achieved. And make no mistake, many at the highest levels of society believe it. You got people putting their brains in cryo state, freezing their brains so they can be transferred to another body. And all of these ideas on how to attain immortality, go back to the Egyptians. They tried to do the same thing with mummifications and put it in the pyramids and go through all of these rites and ceremonies and sacrifices to achieve what they thought would be immortality. None of it has worked. We have the true solution, and the scripture has given it. But the real issue here is it going to solve all our problems? So you take the person who they are now, freeze their brain or upload it to a computer. Does it, you know, and we have all of this technological advancement. Does that solve the problem? Poverty, death, destruction, evil, wickedness. Will they? Which will create this utopia? Is that going to solve the problems that is within us? Because when you go to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7, and I'll read verses 20 through 23, it says, this is Christ giving the understanding to his apostles, his disciples, on what the reality is of sin. So Mark 7 and 20, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, meaning out of their mind, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So all of the problems of mankind is in the mind of men, and it manifests itself in the world. So how do you solve the problem by taking that same mind and uploading it to a super damn computer? How does that solve the problem? Now you just give this wicked mind exponentially more powers and capabilities to produce more of the same thing: poverty, war, starvation, destruction, covetousness, deceit, theft, fornication. All of these things go on because the problem wasn't solved by uploading the mind to a computer. The problem is only solved by downloading the wickedness from the mind, getting rid of it. So you see this entire fake idea of the singularity and transhumanism itself, because understand, transhumanism, the goal is the singularity. The goal is moving through these stages of augmentation to the point where we don't attach biomechanical things to our bodies, but rather the true evolution is our minds going into the machines itself. That's what they consider the new resurrected body that will live forever in immortality. But it's like, okay, this machine is going to give you immortality. What if the power goes out? What about rust and decay and things like that? How does this machine continue to live on forever without being maintenance? So it's
good question.
We're going right back to the garden with the false promise. It's the same promise, just in, you know, the 21st century, in 2017. But the results are going to ultimately be the same. The problem was the wickedness in the mind then, and the problem is the wickedness in the mind now. And whether you upload that mind to a computer, the problem doesn't go away. It just makes the problem actually worse. So, So, no.
So, and I want that.
Technology, yes, technology is not going to be the solution for all our problems. Repentance is going to be the solution.
And I wanted to ask that, if you don't mind, because would you read Jeremiah chapter 17?
Exactly.
Jeremiah chapter 17:9, where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And, of course, here the heart is not referring to, the heart here in the scriptures is not referring to the blood pumping organ in your chest. It's referring to your mind. It's referring to your brain. So it's telling you that your mind is deceitful above all things. So in other words, of everything that can deceive you or cause you to walk out of the perfect path of Christ, it's your mind. Why? Because your mind will find every excuse, every justification, quote-unquote justification, under the sun to satisfy its own lusts. So if you take that same lustful mind, like you talked about, and that mind that's full of all those things that you read in Mark chapter 7, and you upload that to a computer, I mean, what will be the interface between organic matter and cables? that's another question. I mean, that's only going to exacerbate the problem. It's like, okay,
exactly.
You've got this lustful mind full of deceit, full of corruption, full of all types of wanton acts of wickedness, and you upload it somehow to a computer, you're going to get a broader mindset full of lusts and deceit and corruption. So to reemphasize the point and back up your point, brother, that's no. That the true solution to our problems does not lie in technology. It lies in repentance to follow Christ.
Exactly. Even when you look at that movie Transcendence with Johnny Depp, when he uploaded his mind to basically the computer, I mean, he, you know, by the end of the computer, you know, he's taking over all of the world's computer systems. I mean, causing all type of havocs. And at the location where he's actually at, he's killing people with the machines that's around him. I mean, it's havoc. So, I mean, where do you get the solution from when basically you give an evil mind greater capacity to do more evil? It's not going to work. So that's, you know, that's the issue you wind up dealing with and coming to. You know, but you have a lot of people who put their faith in that direction. You have a lot of people who put their hopes in that, you know. So, I mean, should we place our faith, you know, our identity, our dreams into this, you know, inevitable technological process of technological progress of humanity? You know, is that something that's going to bring us all the solution? Is that something where we can rest our hopes and dreams and hope for a better future? You know what I mean? Is that something, you know, that will bring that solution to us?
Now, Kabar, that's a good question. Should we place our faith in that technological progress, humanity? I mean, before I go about answering that question using the scriptures, let's take something as simple or as complex as a car. You've got a car, I've got a car. And eventually, something is going to go wrong with that car. Eventually, something is going to go wrong with a part that's going to need to be replaced, or something comes out of which you may have to replace a tire, or a timing belt may be cracked, or the AC may not work. So if something needs to be replaced. Guess what? Those vehicles are man-made. So my car is a man-made instrument, your car is a man-made instrument, and before long, through time, something's going to happen in which you're either going to have to acquire another vehicle or make purchases as to replace the deficient parts within the vehicle. So back to the question, should we place our faith in the technological progress of humanity? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures. Let's see what the scripture says. Now, when we read Psalms 118, And I'm going to read verse 8 specifically. Psalms 118, and verse 8. Let's see what the Heavenly Father says about us putting our faith or our confidence in man. So, in Psalms 118 and verse 8, it states, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." So, between these two verses, the message that's being heavily emphasized is trust in the Lord. We put our faith and our confidence in the Heavenly Father, not through and not in man or man's philosophy or man's machinery or man's technology or man's religion. We're not supposed to put our faith or our trust or our confidence in those things, because they are of men, and men by nature are corrupt. They are corruptible. They are not perfect. They are not infinite. They are very finite. They are very limited. So how is it that we're putting our faith, our trust, our confidence in man or something put together or created by the hands of man instead of putting our faith, our confidence, our trust in the absolute being who created man? So that's a problem already. And it's very evident in our society that we have people putting their faith and confidence in men, and men, by nature, they're frail. They are limited. They are prone to mistakes. But yet we're placing our confidence in these men instead of placing our confidence and our faith, in the word of the Heavenly Father. You know, so that's a problem. And speaking of faith, because that's what it all boils down to. And speaking of faith, I got to read just quickly in Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's something that we all need to really pay attention to and really be cognizant of. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." So by faith, confidence in the Most High and what he says he's going to do, that's how our people obtained a good report back then, and that's how we will obtain a good report now and enter to the kingdom of heaven. Now, I got to put this out there and be very, very, very direct with it. The scriptures also tell you in James, the second chapter, faith without works is dead. So in the faith in the Most High, not in man, but in our faith or our confidence in the Lord God Almighty, we have to also have the works or the actions demonstrative of the fact or demonstrative of our faith in the Lord God. And those actions that show that we have faith in the Heavenly Father is repentance. Those actions that show that we have faith in the Heavenly Father is self-examination. We're looking at ourselves and we're saying, what is it that I can do to be a better man or a better woman for women, or come closer to that image of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life? And once you go through that process of examining self, then comes the actual application. Then comes the putting into action of what the Lord says that we need to do to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mind you, this right here has nothing to do with man's technology, his research, his science, his philosophy. This has everything to do with putting ourselves back in line with the Heavenly Father and serving him. So still in Hebrews 11th chapter, now I'm going straight to the point. And help me out, brother, because I'm looking for that scripture, and I'm almost, and I can't find it. It's in front of me, but here it is. Verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," meaning the Heavenly Father. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is," in other words, believe that God exists, There's no other God except him, and that God has total and complete power and authority on this earth, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now something else that needs to be really emphasized is that we have to diligently, constantly seek the Heavenly Father, not on the weekends or every other weekend or when it's convenient for us, but constantly seek to serve the Heavenly Father, constantly read, constantly study, constantly meditate, constantly bring forth those fruits of the Spirit, constantly follow Christ and apply the teachings of Christ. Do that constantly. That is the faith that we're supposed to have. And with that, and of course, enduring to the end, we will truly be able to be partakers of that true paradise or that true utopia that the Heavenly Father is going to bring to this earth. Not man, but the Lord God Almighty himself. So to answer your question, no, we should not place our faith in technological progress of humanity. Let's take another story. Let's take the Tower of Babel. That was also an instance in which man tried to literally ascend and reach God. But what did the Lord do? He sent an angel. He confused the languages, and that tower that they started to build was put to naught. So the same thing. Men tried to rely on his own devices to try to ascend or achieve a level of godhood, and it cannot happen, whether it was back then during that time period or whether it's now in this time period. No. Will we see that utopia? Yes, if we repent and put our faith in the Heavenly Father and follow Christ and cling to what the Scripture said. But putting our faith in technological advances and man's science? No. Believe it or not, that is a form of idolatry. So the overall point being, no, technology is not the answer. Repentance and following Christ, that's the answer. So exactly. At this time period, believe it or not, I would like to take a quick break and run the promos for our show. So please bear with me, and then we will go to the next question afterwards.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the Scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Giving all praises, we are back with you, and today's topic of discussion is transhumanism, the search for godhood. So, Kabar, we were talking briefly at the onset of the show about how man and his through his quote-unquote technological advances is aspiring to basically ascend to a level of godhood in which he is practically immortal and will live forever. So I guess, there's no guess to it. It begs the question, can technology ever really give us immortality? And in other words, is there some type of computer program that's out there or that's in development in which once executed will live forever? I'm asking, really.
You know, no, there really isn't. There isn't any technology that can bring true immortality. Because understand, when you're dealing with transhumanism, really the only way you can even conceive of, you know, immortality being achieved is through what they call the singularity. And this is why that's really the ultimate goal, and everybody really has to be pushed into that direction. It can't be augmentation, really. That's just the steps on the way to singularity. Of course, singularity, by the prefix of the word, means one, so you combine man and machine and together into one. So, you know, you're not talking about a situation, you know, like Elysium, where Matt Damon has these biomechanical parts augmented onto his physical body, because, of course, eventually he's going to die. He's going to expire. So really, you're talking about something like Transcendence or the movie Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, where they upload their minds into the machine themselves. And you can either continue to transfer your mind from one machine to the other, or for one robot to the other, or machine to the other, and continue on that way. But it's not immortality in the sense that we understand classically or scripturally. It's really this makeshift, temporary immortality where you can find a way to continue to move the mind around. Now, it doesn't even get into the issue of degradation of the, you know, software or hardware or corruption of the computer file or any of that could happen. You just disappear into a scene or whatever, you know, if that's ever possible. But we're talking about, you know, true immortality, not the fake version that's being offered through the singularity of transhumanism. Well, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll start at verse 39, because it talks about that immortality and how that is actually going to come about through the scriptures, through the way the Most High is setting up through Christ and repentance and the hopes of the kingdom of heaven and true perfection on the earth. Like you read in Matthew 6 and 9 about, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're truly looking for. That's when the true immortality can actually take place in the fullness of the sense of the word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39, it says, all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, that means heavenly. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, meaning earthly. Terrestrial is earthly, celestial is heavenly. It says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So now we're getting into immortality through the resurrection of the dead. It says it is sown in corruption, right, the way we are now, in that bodies decay, so on and so forth. And it says it is raised incorruptible. Okay, so whatever is raised is not going to be subject to decay. It says it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, like the carnal physical bodies we have now, and it says what? It is raised a spiritual body, okay? So the bodies we're looking for are spiritual bodies. It It says there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So when we're talking about the resurrection, which we move into that the necessity of the resurrection so that we can really obtain our inheritance of the kingdom in immortality, okay, we need those spiritual bodies, not a mind uploaded to a computer, because once again, we still a computer is just another physical thing, and it's subject to decay. You know, transistors, circuits, wires, they decay over time. Eventually, it's going to be gone. But that's not what we're receiving when we talk about this true immortality through Christ, through the resurrection, spiritual bodies. That's what we're talking about receiving from the Lord. I jump down into verse 51 in that same First Corinthians 15. So now 51 to 53. First Corinthians 15 and 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means, die before Christ comes. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Meaning there are some, of course, follows the Christ who have died over the years, and there's going to be some who's alive at his coming, okay? And it says, verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we also shall be changed." So the ones who have died over the years before Christ's return, when Christ returns, they're going to be raised up first. And those on the earth who is alive at the time of his coming are going to be changed instantly, and they're going to have those spiritual bodies, okay? And it says, verse 53, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So that's what we're talking about here. But when we make the distinction between what this false promise of transhumanism and the singularity is talking about, and what the true immortality that we are being offered through Christ, understand, we want the real offer immortality that Christ offered, and not this fake, phony, knockoff derivative that Satan is trying to offer us through the singularity. Because once you uplift your mind, this is assuming that this whole thing even is possible. Even if you could upload your mind, or upload your mind into a computer or into a robot, how do you eat an apple? How do you have a glass of wine? How can you enjoy the bounty of the earth? Remember, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is." How do you enjoy the creation after that? How do you enjoy all of the things that the Lord created in a computer body that can't experience any of these things? Because when we look at Christ and his spiritual body, when you go into after Christ is resurrected in Luke chapter 24, verses 38 through 43, when he was resurrected, I mean, the disciples were just amazed. And some of them had doubts. And Christ was like, "Listen, I'm here." And to prove it, he asked them for a piece of fish and he ate it. So in the singularity, it is a mechanical body. How are you going to eat fish? How are you going to do any of that? But in a real resurrection that we have through Christ and immortality, you can partake of the bounty and the blessings of the earth. So Christ is able to eat fish in that state, in that resurrected state. He also was what? The fish didn't, he didn't chew it and it fell down on the floor like some kind of phantom or a ghost. No, he ate it. And then also when you look into John chapter 20 and verse 19, when the disciples are gathered together in a closed room, Christ walks through the door and stands in the midst of them. So not only can he partake of the things of the earth, right, fish, eat, drink, whatever, but you can also walk through a door. You can't do that in a biomechanical body or in a computer or anything like that. So let's, you know, we don't want to buy into this false promise that Satan was offering Eve in a garden of immortality and becoming God, because it's a knockoff. It's a counterfeit, okay? It is not what it seems. And ultimately, it's a lie, because Satan said they wouldn't die, and we all know they certainly did die. And then after that, all hell is unleashed on the earth through sin to the point God has to wipe man off the face of the earth through the flood. Makes a promise through the rainbow that he won't kill men through water, but the second destruction is coming through fire when Christ returns, because the same sins were reproduced all over again. So it's not, we see throughout time, you get these restarts are happening, and the same thing comes up because the same wickedness is in man's mind. So this false idea of transhumanism and singularity, where they want to restart on other planets, you're just simply going to take the same destruction elsewhere. That's why it's a false promise. That's why it's the same lie that Satan offered in the garden. It's the same lie transhumanism and the singularity is offering now. It's the same spirit behind it, which is Satan the devil, and it's the same lie that he told in the garden. So the thing is, the real immortality both allows us to have those spiritual bodies, be actually immortal, and partake of the blessings of the creation that the Most High gives us in the earth, whereas this fake immortality that they're offering through the singularity and through transhumanism doesn't allow you to partake of any of that. And also doesn't achieve any of the goals that they mentioned, because the problem with it is the mind that is in the machine. The mind is wicked. And the mind will ultimately reproduce the same destruction it sought to escape through the singularity. So we want the real immortality that is offered in the scriptures and not the counterfeit, fake, false version offered through transhumanism, singularity. So
that pretty much answers that particular question. And you keep saying singularity as if it's a Matrix movie or something. Singularity. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, brother, we're talking about it's not, listen, understand the executives of the Fang, they call them Fang stocks, Facebook, Apple, Google, and Netflix. All of the executives of these organizations believe in transhumanism. Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX. He believes we're in a damn simulation. He thinks we're in a simulation right now, and we need to try to break out of it. Now, these are supposedly educated people in the best universities around with the most, you know, highly technical skills and degrees you can possibly imagine. But we're in a computer right now, you know, running around like digits and in a machine. So understand that the highest levels of our society, this is what they believe. This is what they're moving toward. This is what they believe can be achieved. And this is the philosophy that is being taught to everyone else. And like I mentioned, all of these movies that I just mentioned out there, it's to bring this philosophy and to teach people about this concept and make it real in the world we live in today. But, you know, like we already said and postulated, it's a false promise, you know, and it is really the same promise that Satan gave in the garden, you know, just in a different name. You know what I mean? It's just in a different name, but it's the same problem that's going to exist, and that comes out of it. So just like in that, you know, ultimately death came, and there wasn't no advancement. They didn't become their own gods that we read about. When he promised that they'll become gods, you know, knowing good and evil, that didn't happen. They received death. They didn't live forever. So, I mean, let me ask you this, you know, can transhumanism defeat death? Because that was the promise. Then that is the promise now. Is that possible? Can transhumanism give them that? Because you got a lot of people who think, okay, this is the answer. This is what's going to solve all our problems. You know what I mean? Ultimately, being able to live together and live forever in this utopia, this false promise. Can that happen? Can transhumanism grant them that freedom from death or to overcome death or defeat death? Can that happen?
That's a good question. That really is a good question. So can transhumanism defeat death? Well, let's look at it this way. When we read Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Most High says something very, very, very plain. And it's something that we all need to really understand. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 39, these are the words of the Lord. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So the reason why I read that particular scripture is because, you know, we with this particular transhumanism movement, of course, one of the larger goals of it is to achieve immortality. But the Most High is telling you, I kill. So being that the Most High is saying, I kill, he's also letting us know that no matter what advances, no matter what type of method, no matter what type of act that man can concoct to try to prolong his life, ultimately the Heavenly Father is the one who decides how long man will live. And it's the Heavenly Father that basically gives the yea or the nay as to whether a soul a human being is to expire on the earth or not. That's the Most High's call. And there's nothing that a man can do with his nanotechnology or his computer programming to change that. So will transhumanism defeat death? The answer to that question is no. We all are going to die at some, well, I'm not going to say we all, because the scriptures already said that some will see a Christ and they'll be changed. But there will be a lot of us who will take on that physical death, that corruption of the body, and then come back that incorruptible person, provided that we repent and follow Christ. But transhumanism, no. It will not defeat death. Now, to further add on to that, let's look at the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 14, where it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, meaning Christ. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundant grace through repentance and following Christ, the gift of righteousness, shall reign in the life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift, which is the eternal life through Jesus Christ, upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So the overall point being, will transhumanism defeat death? No. But death will be defeated through Jesus Christ. And to further prove that, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we were just at, but I'm going back up just a little bit, starting at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, which is not that much different from what I just read in Romans, the 5th chapter. For as in Adam, all die. Whoa, there it is. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive, provided we repent and follow his example, and of course endure to the end. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. So the scriptures now are describing how things are going to happen in the end when Christ returns and he reestablishes righteousness on the earth. Verse 25, but he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm going to read that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. So the point is, back in verse 26, will death be defeated? Will death be overcome? Yes, it will. But it will not happen through man's sciences or his technology or his philosophy. It will only happen through Jesus Christ and him coming back and reestablishing righteousness, a righteous order on this earth. And as a part of Christ reestablishing that righteous order on the earth, the last of the enemies to be defeated will be death. So the overall point being, here again, to emphasize the point, it's not going to be through man that we overcome death. It will be only through repentance and following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we overcome death. And we put off these mortal carnal bodies and we put on those incorruptible immortal bodies. Only through repentance, following Christ, and of course, enduring until the end, when either we die the natural carnal death or when Christ returns. Either way, it's still guaranteed because the Heavenly Father has said so. So, my brother Kabar, I would like to thank you for joining me this afternoon to discuss this very, very, very interesting topic and really bring the edification out in the scriptures. Definitely have to give all thanks and praises to the Lord God Almighty and, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ for allowing us the opportunity to talk and really engage in dialogue concerning this particular subject. And until the next time, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you all. Shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.